That's a wonderful habit, to bring your Bible to church. Preacher may preach something sometimes, not in the Bible. You wouldn't know the difference unless you had your Bible. Let's see how many have your Bibles this morning. Hold them up. Isn't that a wonderful sight? I wish you could just see it as I see it up here this morning. I want to read from the 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs, just a verse or two. And then I'm going to read from the 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews. Maybe you ought to just start looking for Hebrews, because I'll just read one verse from the book of Proverbs. And that will be the first verse of the 27th chapter. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now will you look at me with me at the 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I want to read some verses from this tremendous chapter. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they've not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. I want to call your attention to two verses in this 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews, and then I want to connect two statements out of the Bible for our text to you this morning. In fact, if I had a subject today, it would be this. Today or tomorrow? Today or tomorrow? That's what the Bible is talking about. In verse 7, you read, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. And in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 3, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now I want to take that word today as God has used it, put it with another word as God has used it in the 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. The Holy Ghost saith today. And so I want to speak to you this morning on the subject today or tomorrow. Now I'm primarily going to speak to you today on why I believe that if you're not a Christian, if you're not a born-again child of God, that you ought to be saved this morning, right now, in this service. I believe you ought to be saved if you're not saved. But I'm not limiting the scriptures to that, because God does not limit them in that way. You see, in the passage that I've read to you, it says brethren. Brethren. So these things apply to the people of God also. The Christian ought to consider today or tomorrow. You see, today is the wise man's day. And tomorrow, someone has said, is the fool's day. God's word says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. I'm speaking to scores of Christians this morning, that if God would so lead me to say the right words, you would think of something that as a Christian, you've been putting off and putting off and putting off. You've been saying tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to take care of that. I know people that have been putting off of being baptized, who've been saved a long time. I dealt with a lady years ago who had been saved 29 years. And I said to her, have you been baptized? She lived in Owensboro, Kentucky, where we were speaking in a revival meeting. Been saved 29 years. And I said to her, have you ever been baptized? She said, no, I've never been baptized. I do not believe that it's important. And she said, I've been saved 29 years and never been baptized. I said to them, have people talked to you about it before? Now listen, this lady was a Baptist preacher's wife. You may not believe that this morning, but she had been a Baptist preacher's wife and for 29 years had been putting off being baptized because somewhere in her childhood she had been taught that you can be baptized in several different ways. You can be sprinkled, have water poured upon your head, or you can be immersed as the Bible plainly teaches. But for 29 years, here was a woman that put off being baptized who knew that she ought to be. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. And the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice. I say there are many Christians who put off things. You see this in every walk of life. I see students never study until about the last week of each semester when it is exam time. They never do well. You see, you never prosper. You never make it. If you always put off something till tomorrow, that ought to be done today. And I say, there's not a shadow of a doubt. But what there are people in this room this morning that are saved and on their way to heaven. They're Christians. But they've been putting off for years something that needs to be done. I've known people to go for years and years without a church home. We've had people attend this church for many, many years before they ever joined, and some never did join. It was the church of their choice, the only church that they attended. But they said, well, I won't do it today. And you know, I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years, and I've never seen people ever prosper in any walk of life who said over and over again, I won't do it today, but I'll do it tomorrow. You know, that's true of a lot of Christians who have someone that you ought to win to the Lord. Say, well, I'm going to see them tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. I never will forget, as long as I live, hearing one of the greatest men of God I've ever known weep as he told his own story. I remember hearing Dr. John R. Rice, whom I respect and whom I hold up in my memory, my mind. I knew him well for 35 years, traveled with him, spoke with him, stayed in the same room with him as much as a week at a time, day and night. And I never knew a better Christian than Dr. John R. Rice. I never knew a better student of the Bible. I never knew a more thorough, sincere, soul-winning man in all of my life. Never knew one. Yeah, there was a greater Christian than Dr. John R. Rice. But I remember one time hearing him say that he was on the radio down in Texas. He received one day a postcard. The postcard said there's a very elderly man in his 90s who is a neighbor of mine, and this man is not saved. And I heard you on the radio speak about winning people to the Lord. And I wonder if you'd go see my elderly neighbor, Dr. Rice, who is never was a man to put off till tomorrow what he ought to do today. He was that kind of man that worked 16 hours a day and was as true to God and close to God as anyone I ever knew. He put that card in his pocket and was so pressed and so scheduled and so busy that he said, I won't go today, but I will go tomorrow. And so a day or two went by like that. And about the third day he said, I must not put it off any longer. I'll go today. With a postcard in his pocket, he went to the address. He stepped upon the porch of that home down in the Dallas, Texas area and knocked upon the door. No one answered the door. He knocked again and there was no answer. And then he had a neighbor come out on a porch adjoining that house. A neighbor came out and said, if you're expecting to see the old man who lived there, You will not find him because the family is away conducting his funeral. He's being buried at this very hour. Dr. John R. Rice told it. And he told it with a broken heart. And he said, I've wept many a time over a man that I might have won. But I said, not today, but tomorrow. And listen, friend, good Christians can fail God in procrastination. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know, in fact, you read the book of James, and James said, let not a person say, now, tomorrow I'll go into the city and buy and sell and get gain. James said, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say, tomorrow I'm going to conduct business. I'm going to buy and sell for profit and get gain. James says, don't ever say that. He said, say, if the Lord will, tomorrow I'll buy and sell and get gain. For he said, your life is as a vapor. You see, James, knowing of the brevity of life, is saying, do not presume on tomorrow. And I'm preaching this morning beyond any shadow of a doubt to people who are presuming they're going to have tomorrow to do what they need to be done, what needs to be done. There may be no tomorrow. I remember some times in my life when there was such urgency about some matters on the Lord's day that I've left my home to go and visit people and see people and taken members of my family to call upon people and meet people. And I could name you one Sunday afternoon when a girl was on fire from burning gasoline. And because of an urgency in my heart, one of my children was with me. And we found that girl running with her whole clothing aflame and were able to extinguish the flame and save her life. And she was baptized here in this church, trusting the Lord, and was baptized. I remember that afternoon when God said, you go now, you hit the streets this Sunday afternoon. And that afternoon, I knocked on the door. A white-haired lady answered and said, I said, I'm Mr. Malone. And she surprised me. She said, thank God, come in. Back in the kitchen of that home was a young man in a service uniform. He was in the army, standing with a sharp knife at the point of his heart, waiting to get courage to plunge it into his body. And I reached over his shoulder and put my hand on his, and he gave me that knife. Oh, who knows? Who knows what might have happened if I had not heard God say, today, this afternoon, this afternoon, this afternoon, not tomorrow. A young girl would have burned to death, and a soldier boy might have taken his life. But I had the sweet experience, thank God, that afternoon of kneeling with that soldier boy and his weeping white-haired mother, and both of them trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me say, some of you Christians are saying, no, not today. Not today, but tomorrow. But listen to what God says. God Almighty says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. And the Bible says, today, the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. I wonder what it would do. I wonder what all would happen if this morning in this church service, Christians would hear God say to us, today, get it done today. Get it done today, and don't put it off until tomorrow. Now then, I want to just mention something to you before I go any further in this service. You know, if someone would say to me, preacher, you can get this crowd together again, we'll say in 50 years. In 50 years, you can have this whole crowd together again. That's ridiculous. There are not many people in this audience to be alive 50 years from now. If the Lord tarries his coming. If someone would say, preacher, in 20 years, you can get this whole crowd together. And so just don't be so urgent and just take your time. 20 years, all of us will meet here as we're meeting this morning. That's ridiculous. 20 years from now, There are very few people in this audience that will still be alive 20 years from now. There'll be just a small portion of the people in this audience that'll be alive. If you were to say to me, preacher, now let's be reasonable. I believe you can get this whole crowd together a year from today. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you can get this whole crowd together a year from now. I look back this past year and I think of people, some of whom we never dreamed would go to be with the Lord, but they have. And I've had some of you tell me of unexpected tragedy that struck your home, and some loved one, not old, not elderly, whom God cut down like cutting the grass that withers in the sun. You see, there'll never be another time like now. Never, never. 1 year from now, someone who's in this audience be on a sick bed and can't be here. 1 year from now, all things being equal, some precious soul, if Jesus tarries, will be taken to be with the Lord. So you see, there's no such thing as you and I presuming, reckoning, depending on tomorrow. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. Now listen, if you're not saved this morning, if you're not a Christian, you know, I'm still, and you say to me, preacher, I'll be here every Sunday for a year. Wouldn't change my message one bit in the world. Because I know that the sooner you come to Christ, the sooner you will find the wonderful joy in Christ. You know something I have trouble getting over? I am over it. I've committed to God. I am over it, but it's not been easy. And I mentioned to you in this church, I guess, 100 times. When I was an 11-year-old boy, I wanted to be saved. Now listen, I don't think there's anybody in this church ever wanted to be saved any more than I wanted to be saved when I was an 11-year-old boy. I'll tell you how badly I wanted to be saved. I've talked to folks about how poor I was. And I've never exaggerated, because I couldn't exaggerate that. I wanted to be saved so badly, the only place I knew of at the time, when I was an 11-year-old boy, was the City Church, the First Methodist Church of Russellville, Alabama. I had no what you call Sunday clothes. I had overalls, blue denim work shirt, and plow shoes. I wanted to be saved so badly. And listen, I had a complex. My home was broken through no fault of my precious mother. But my drinking, gambling, wayward father broke our home when I was six or seven year old boy. And I had a complex. I didn't like to be around people. I've seen people come by and stop by to visit. I'd go hide. I don't want to be around people. But oh, the burning longing in my heart to be saved drove me as much as anything could ever drive a human being. I said, I don't care how poorly I'm dressed. And I'll be the only one there that looks like this. I want to be saved. And the only place I know to go is the First Methodist Church, Russellville, Alabama. And I went to that Methodist church in my overalls and blue denim shirt. And the people, I'm sure, looked upon me in pity. A man, I remember, he had flaming red hair, was the evangelist. And when he preached and gave the invitation, I, as an 11-year-old boy, in overalls and a blue denim shirt and plow shoes, walked down the aisle of that city church. There were doctors and lawyers and well-to-do people, school teachers, and all that sort of people in that church. And a man said to me, now you come back next Sunday, and you'll be baptized. They didn't have any idea what the word baptized meant. I went back next Sunday. I couldn't wait. Longest week I've ever known. And I went back the next Sunday. They put a few drops of water on my head. Said, God bless you, son. And I think, wanted to get me out of their sight. I was 11 years old. And I didn't know the Lord until I was nearly 20 in August, before I became 20 in November. I came to know the Lord, thank God. I said to you, I have trouble getting over something. I have trouble when I think of some 8 or 9 years someone cheated me out of, who didn't love my soul enough to get me saved. I've had trouble with it. I've committed all to God. And I think of my own failures. I forgive people But I have trouble with it. For 9 years, I walked with one foot in hell. I remember the night, disconsolate boy, standing about to cross the main highway in the dark, out in the country. I saw the lights of what turned out to be a truck with a long trailer on it. Just a trailer, not with a covered trailer, but just a long trailing part on the truck. And when that truck came, and it came right along like this, I stepped to the side of the road. And I had one foot ready to make a step when I saw in the flashing of a second red lights the remaining part of that truck. I had my foot raised. Had I set it down, I'd be in hell this morning. That's what I'm telling you. And I never talk about it much. One of my friends and I, one night, we were drinking, country boys. We were on a railroad track, and both of us about past going. And I remember falling between the rails. And I remember a drunken buddy pulling me over the rails and out to the end of the cross ties, just as a big old freight train shook the earth that came lumbering by. And I know this morning, twice in those years, had one foot in hell. Oh, how good God was to give me another chance to be saved. I say to you, the sooner you come to Christ, the sooner you'll know the joy of Christ. I wish I hadn't missed 9 years of being happy in the Lord. I wish I could have known the Lord as an 11-year-old boy and escaped a lot of things that were in my life until God saved me. You know, the sooner you come to Christ, the sooner you'll escape the misery of sin. And listen to me. There's nothing in sin but misery. There's no joy. There's no lasting peace to be found in sin. Sin is like a viper. Sin is like a poisonous rattlesnake. Sin is like playing with dynamite in your hands. Sin, sin. If you want to be brave, reach up some stormy night and take hold of a blaze of lightning in the sky. But my friend, for God's sake, don't live in sin. Sin wrecks people's hearts and minds and destroys their bodies and puts their souls in hell. And the sooner you come to Christ, the sooner you'll escape the misery of sin. Oh, the misery of sin. The misery of an accusing conscience. Some years ago I read, two policemen knocked on a door, and a man for almost 30 years had been running from the law. And when the policemen knocked on the door, they were not there to arrest this man. But for some other seemingly insignificant thing, they had to go to this home. The man opened the door and saw two policemen and said, "Thank God." They said, "What do you mean? I'm glad you found me." So they just let him tell his own story. "For nearly 30 years, I've run from the law." He said, "Never a happy night." He said, "I've tossed on my bed with my conscience lashing me like a leather whip. Thank God you've got me. I couldn't stand it much longer." And I want to tell you, I'm preaching to them people this morning who are lost. And they know nothing but the misery of sin. Sooner you come to Christ, the sooner. Jesus said, if the Son of Man set you free, you shall be free indeed. The person that's lost is in slavery. The devil is your father, your taskmaster. He's using you. He's tricked you. He's making a fool out of you. Sooner you come to Christ, the sooner you'll escape the misery of sin. And oh, when I think of the fact, the sooner you come to Christ, the more you can do for the Lord. You see, I just love it. We baptized dear brother Charlie, who's here this morning. I think he's close to 70. I forget his age. And I just loved that. I remember picking up a man one Sunday morning whom I'd won to the Lord. Out here on way out on North Parish Street, I visited him. Won him to the Lord. I wanted to see his son. He had a 54-year-old son, gassed, poisoned somehow in the war. And I wanted to see him, but he said, you can't see him because he is asleep. He's under doctor's care. No one can deal with him, talk with him. I talked to the man, and the man, except the Lord, is 83 years of age. He came down the aisles that Sunday morning. I brought him in to the church and took him home after he came down the aisle, 83 years of age. His limbs were kind of bow-legged, and he tottered down the aisle, 83 years of age. And he made a public confession to the Lord, and we baptized him. I know a man has been saved, 83 years of age. I think we've baptized more than one person who's been saved in this church who'd passed the year of 90. You say, isn't that wonderful? It is. Oh, it's like snatching a soul. It's almost there in hell. And like the Bible says, snatching them from the fire, as Jude put it. But wait a minute. When someone gets saved in their younger years, a life is saved. That 83-year-old man didn't live but a few weeks and died. And when I went by his little house out there one time, it boarded up, a little cement block home, boarded up. No one lived there. He died right after he was saved, just a short time, and no one lived there at all. You see, he never had a chance to do anything for the Lord. And let me tell you, when God saved you in your youth or younger years, he saves you and your life. So your life can be spent in the service of God. Everybody in this building has heard of R.E. Tari, Reuben Archer Tari, successor to Dwight L. Moody and great man of God. Tari went to school with a young man and played baseball with him. And Tari was saved years later, but he thought he was saved then. But he kept saying, I ought to talk to my friend. And he kept saying it, and he kept saying it, and he kept saying it. And one day his friend had his back turned. Someone threw a baseball from a few hundred feet away and caught him right in the back of his cranium and killed him as instantly if he'd been shot through the heart. And when R.A. Tari did get right with the Lord in a hotel room in Minneapolis, Minnesota, years later, he used to say, oh, I know, by the fact I didn't really know the Lord, I let my friend go to hell. You see, the sooner you come to Christ, the more you can do for him. Someone talked to mother. She said she had two sons. First one, oldest one, 40 years old. They said to her, have you ever tried to get them in the house of God and get them saved? She said, well, of course not. 40 years, two sons on the way to hell. You see, the sooner you come to Christ, the more you can do for the Lord. Listen. You know, I just love and admire people that are what you call faithful. We've got have some of them in this church. I love people like that. I was thinking of Brother Clyde Brown. I went up to call on him, and he's had a bad heart attack, as all the church knows. Brother Clyde's been head usher in this church. And I never knew it, but his family say he doesn't see well at night, but you always find him here. Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, he made it anyway. I think he just said, the Lord's going to take me by divine radar right on into the church. I like people like that. I like people that trying to do something for the Lord. Like the man one time in Fort Worth, Texas, he observed that the little children's Sunday school department was on a ground level, and there was a door that opened out of the department, and a child, if they got loose, could go out that door and right out in the street. And he thought, this is dangerous. And he said to the pastor, well, some child may get killed. Someone ought to be stationed at that door every Sunday of the world to keep these children safe. And the pastor said, you're right. You do it. And his funeral was held 42 years later. And at his funeral, the preacher said, for 42 years he never missed a Sunday sitting at that door. And he saw hundreds of little kids grow up and marry and others come along. But for 42 years, he sat at the door. I like that. That's wonderful. You know, the sooner you get saved or get right with God, the more you can do for the Lord. I must close. I'm not through, but I want to close. The sooner you come to Christ, the richer it'll be your reward. You know, the Lord blesses you. You don't expect any pats on the back in this world. I'm going to preach on a little bit tonight. But when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to reward you. Sooner you come to Christ, the sure you are to come. I never look over there. Well, I say never, but many times I look over there at the end of this platform and I think of a boy with a cast on his leg. Even a Sunday morning service when there was a large number of people got saved, and after the service, someone beckoned me to come, and two young men were talking to him right at the end of this platform, right over there at the end of it. Had a cast on his leg. And they said, "I want you to meet so-and-so, preacher." And they introduced him, and we began to talk, and I asked him, I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I'm not." And you know what I said, and I went through all that should be said to a person that needs to be saved. And I mean, there was a high pitch of enthusiasm that day, and many people were saved in the church, and he was here and saw all that, but he was lost. And he said, "No, I'm not saved." I said to him, "Oh, I wish you'd be saved." He said, "Tell you what, I'll be back tonight." And I guess the Lord led me. You know, a lot of folks say the Lord led me when really they don't know for sure the Lord led them. But I know I said it anyway. I said, "I don't think you will." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I've had a lot of experience with people that said, I'm not going to get saved now, but I will later." I said, "I don't think you will." He said, "Well now, preacher, I know. I'll be here tonight." And he said, when I come tonight, if the thing happens that happened this morning, I'm going to be saved. That is, if an invitation's given." I said, "You won't be here." He said, "I will be." I said, "I'm afraid you won't. Now you ought to be saved." That night came, and he wasn't here, and he's never been here. And I think over there at the end of this altar of prayer, a young man one time decided, "I'm going to keep on going to hell." I don't know what happened to him. God says today. The devil whispers tomorrow. A preacher one time dreamed he'd gone down into hell and attended a meeting where the devil was talking to his imps. And he said to his imps, "We must get everyone, keep every person unsaved we can, and get them here." Now, he said, "Let's have suggestions." The preacher dreamed this. And he said, an imp arose and said, "Let's go back to earth and tell everybody the Bible's a lie." Devil said, "Everybody's not going to believe the devil's a lie. They won't get everybody." Said, "Let's go back to earth and tell them there's no life after death." Devil said, "Why, people, all people are not going to believe there's no life after death." And an imp arose and said, "Let's go back to earth and tell them the Bible is true and there is a life after death and there is a Jesus, but just don't do anything about it right now." And in his dream, the preacher said, Satan clapped his hands for glee and said, "That's the best idea. Let's just get them to say tomorrow." Let's pray. Our Father, I pray this morning thou bless the word of God to our hearts. Lord, I pray first of all you bless it to the hearts of us Christians. Many Christians are saying, not today, but tomorrow. But my Bible tells me the Holy Ghost saith today. Oh, blessed Jesus, speak to people this morning. And Lord, I pray if there's a precious man or woman, boy or girl in this building who's not saved, I want you to save them this morning. Because there may not be any tomorrow. There may not be a tonight. So Lord, speak to hearts and save precious souls. And burn these words in us, boast not thyself of tomorrow. No man knoweth what a day may bring forth. The Holy Ghost saith today, harden not your heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And every Christian praying. Christian, don't lift up your head and just keep praying. But will you listen to me for a moment? You know, if God could make things as real to us as they ought to be, every Christian in this room right now would be just groaning in prayer to the Lord. It's a serious hour. Please pray. Please, Christian, get someone on your heart who needs the Lord.